All right, guys. Hello. I'm here with another interview. Today, I have Danny J. Johnson of the Sweaty Bettys, and I'm really excited to have Danny J. on because we kind of have the same theme to our companies. We're both about kind of being fit and having fun. And so real quick, I just want to thank Danny J. for being on here. And Danny J., if you just want to take a second, introduce yourself, tell everybody about the Sweaty Bettys and what you guys do. And thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Danny. It's funny, when we were emailing each other, I kept seeing the two Danny from Danny, and I was confusing myself. But I started the Sweaty Bettys about a year and a half ago. Basically, I came from the fitness industry where I was competing, and it was very hardcore and really strict, and I just got so burnt out. I loved fitness. I loved working out, and pretty soon I was starting to hate it and not look forward to it anymore. I was miserable at the gym. I didn't want to think about dieting anymore. It was just over it. And the Sweaty Bettys really kind of started out with a couple of girlfriends that were in different states of mind. We posted some challenges, like little workout challenges for each other, almost like CrossFit workouts.
Uh-huh.
And we'd do like a YouTube video, and then we'd make the other person do it. And so we'd video us doing the workouts and basically just like falling apart, and it was pretty funny.
Right.
So we're doing this over Facebook, and a lot of people started to catch on, and they were liking the idea, and then they would do the workout. So it just became this thing of just making fitness fun.
Yeah.
And we also were just kind of putting a lot of the fitness industry on blast because, you know, I know what it's like, you know, being in the fitness industry on the other side where, like, for example, Hydroxycut ads, I would get casting directors contacting me, and they'd ask me for my clients' info. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, can we get some of your clients' before and after pictures? We want to use them for an ad, and we'll pay them.
Right.
And they would basically, you know, my clients weren't using Hydroxycut, but they were basically paying them to use those photos to advertise their products. And so I wanted to just kind of show people that, you know, what you see out there is not always what you get, and there's a lot of stuff that is just pure marketing, and it's not truth.
Yeah, that's interesting. I actually didn't even know that, you know, that whole behind the scenes of the fitness world. And that's really cool that you started that. And I love that you mentioned your Facebook page, because Danny J's Facebook page has over 30,000 fans. And it's like an exclusive club. It's pretty cool. I creep on there every once in a while. And it's just like you post something just about like your day to day or your workout, and everybody just goes crazy on that page. So make sure you guys go and like her Facebook page. It's a really cool community. And we're going to talk about some cool stuff today. I'm really excited to have her on. We're going to start right away, because when we were emailing back and forth, Danny J mentioned that she actually started getting into fitness in college, which is interesting because that's when I also started getting into fitness, because I was a high school athlete. And once sports were done and that Division I scholarship offer didn't come, I kind of was like, okay, like, what the hell do I do now? So I kind of started getting into fitness. So you said you had a story, Danny J, a pretty cool story that you were going to share that I'm excited about, how you got into fitness in college.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I kind of like you, I was an athlete in high school. I was a gymnast. Mm-hmm. And I actually quit when I was 16. And so, you know, I kind of was like, what am I going to do to stay in shape? And I got out of gymnastics and I hated PE and like sports, because I was not a very good, like, I'm not good at catching balls, hitting balls, anything like that. So mm-hmm. I was scared of volleyball and all those things.
Right.
But in college, I started, there was a gym, and I worked in the rec center.
Uh-huh.
And so I used to go into the gym and just start running on the treadmill, because I figured, okay, this is how I'm going to stay in shape. So I started running, and I hate running, and I'm not a runner.
Mm-hmm.
But I started making myself jog on the treadmill. I was going about 3 miles a day.
Right.
And to me, that was a ton. And then I started going longer and longer. But what happened was I was starting to gain weight. And I was a vegetarian, actually, for about 10 years. So yeah. I wasn't eating any protein. I was actually eating mostly, you know, college. I was eating spaghetti and rice, like cheap food.
Yeah.
And so I was eating, like, once a day. I would skip breakfast, skip lunch. Maybe I'd have a Mountain Dew, and then I'd go home and, like, have a big bowl of rice.
Right.
Or, like, a quesadilla or something.
Uh-huh.
So I was starting to gain weight, and I'm going, man, if I'm only eating once a day, how am I gaining all this weight? And I'm working out, I'm running. This just doesn't make sense. And so I was getting so frustrated because, you know, when I was in gymnastics, it was easy to maintain my weight, and I'm getting older, and And I'm like, is this going to be my fate? You know, I'm going to get, right. People say you get older and you just gain weight. And I'm like, okay, I'm only 20 years old. I shouldn't be getting fat. Yeah. So I go to the school nutritionist and I told her my problem. And she goes, you need to start eating every 3 hours. And I'm like, No. You're not understanding. I told you I'm eating once and I'm gaining weight. If I eat every 3 hours, I'm going to blow up.
Right.
And she's like, no, I want you to try to eat every 3 hours and I want you to eat protein at each meal. And I'm like, okay, well, what's protein? So she gave me this list of foods and she suggested, maybe a protein powder and tuna fish. I said I would eat tuna and that was like the extent of my eating protein. I wasn't doing meat because I just didn't really like meat. Yeah. And, so I was basically so pissed at her. I thought she was so ignorant and stupid that I go, oh, I'm just going to prove to her that I'm going to get so fat and do exactly what she says.
Yeah.
So she told me, write it down, eat every 3 hours, have protein every 3 hours, and come back and see me in 2 weeks. So I was like, oh, this is going to be good. I'm going to just blow up. I'm going to get up to like 200 pounds when I see her in 2 weeks and just go like, booyah, you're an idiot, you know, like, I was so frustrated at this point that I was like, fine, I'll do exactly what you say, just watch me.
Mm-hmm.
So I, like, got some protein bars and got some oatmeal and kind of, like, healthier food, and I started just mixing protein powder in my oatmeal, and then I had, like, some cans of tuna fish. Not really, you know, the healthiest stuff, but it was more protein than what I'd been eating. And
right.
So, of course, the 2 weeks goes by, and I noticed, like, I hadn't, for one, I didn't gain any weight like I was expecting to. And I was fully expecting to. I was, like, wanting to.
Right.
I didn't really lose weight either, but I noticed, like, my arms started to look more toned. I looked tighter. And I was like, wow, there's something, you know, to this. So I went back to her, and then I was kind of convinced. I go, whoa, you know what you're talking about, so tell me more. And so then she kind of started telling me more about eating, you know, healthier foods and making better choices.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really got me on the nutrition part. And I was still doing the same workouts. I hadn't changed anything. I was just still running.
Right.
And then it was shortly after that that I joined this little, like, sports team. And it was, you know, those trampoline places they have now?
Like, they're where, like, the whole room is a trampoline?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. Well, I was involved in this when that first started, and they were actually trying to make it into this sport. And so I was the only girl on the team, and we were, like, throwing these balls. And the head trainer wanted me to get my arms stronger, so he started teaching me how to do just some shoulder exercises. So literally, all I really knew how to do in the gym was, like, lateral raises and bicep curls. So I would just do my treadmill, and I go to the gym and do lateral raises and bicep curls. Mm-hmm. But with the change in my diet, my shoulders and arms started to look really good.
Yeah.
So that was really the start of me, like, really being intrigued by nutrition and how you can really change your body by changing what you eat and how you work out.
That's so cool. That story is basically, like, so, so common, because I actually – ever since I started my little blog website on the site, a lot of my friends, especially who are girls, will reach out to me and call me and be like, hey, can I have some tips? I'm like, okay, well, what's going on right now? And basically exactly what you described. It's basically 45 minutes on a treadmill, go home, eat a bowl of rice. I swear. And that's
right.
I was like, what else do you eat? And you're like, and she's like, nothing, just a bowl of rice. I was like, that's all day. So that's so funny that you said that. And when I tell them eat every 3 hours, I'm sure they're giving the same reaction, like, okay, asshole, yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what I'm going to do, eat every 3 hours when I'm getting fat with just one meal.
Right. You know, you think if you're already gaining eating once, that if you eat 6 times a day, you're going to, like, triple that weight gain because you're eating so many more times, but you're actually just stimulating your metabolism so you can use that food. Plus, I used to be really, you know, it was when fat was the enemy at this point, not carbs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had a different enemy all the time. But so I thought rice was so healthy because it has 0 grams of fat.
Right.
And, you know, I would eat Skittles because they have 0 grams of fat. Not ever paying attention to the carbs or the sugars or proteins. Just for me, I would just read the fat. If it said zero, then that was like what was healthy to me. And so I learned so much that last year it was my senior year of college. And man, just my body changed so much in how I thought about food. And, you know, I had a lot of depression, and, like, my mind was so much better. I was lot less anxious, a lot less depressed once I really started feeding myself better.
That is very interesting, because that's actually common in, actually, I think in guys and girls. I mean, obviously, guys are less likely to admit like the anxiety and the stress and like the depression. Guys are a lot less likely to say that, but I think it goes on with men and women, especially in college. And I know that once I started really getting into lifting weights and changing my diet, the same thing. My confidence just like skyrocketed, you know. And I was always pretty good at like hiding my anxiety and stuff like that. I thought I played it pretty cool anyway, but I definitely felt like more confident, a little more pep in my step when I started doing all that kind of stuff. Another thing that I like that you said was you mentioned just like simple things you can do right out of a dorm room or out of an apartment. You can eat your oats, and you put what, one scoop of protein powder in your oats mixed with water?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. At the time I used soy protein because I thought that was the best, but you know, I use different stuff now because I know better, but just at the time it was protein. But yeah, I just got some powdered soy protein from Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Put it in with my oats and added water to it, and that was it.
Yeah, that's cool. Real quick, Danny J, can you talk about why they should not get soy protein and your recommendations of what to get?
Well, soy, I mean, there's so many things about, you're going to read all over the internet, soy is good, soy is bad, it's not good, it's not bad. But for one, the soy in the United States and probably just about all over is genetically modified. So they take these seeds and they insert different genes in them, and there's a lot of genetically modified food here, and we just don't know what they do yet, and it's just kind of one of those things where we don't need to mess with it. In other countries, they actually don't even allow U.S. seed overseas because it's been genetically modified. And soy also mimics some estrogen, and you know, a lot of women have estrogen dominance because of toxins, water bottles, plastics leaching in, and estrogen dominance can cause a lot of hormonal problems. It can, can wreak havoc. You know, I've had a lot of hormonal issues just from dieting later on doing my fitness stuff, and it's just something you don't want to mess with.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of soy. I don't really recommend it. Like once in a while I'll eat edamame or something, you know, but on a day-to-day basis, I would just kind of stray away from soy proteins.
Cool. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm of the same boat, and actually whey doesn't sit well with me either. And that's whey protein is definitely something I like recommend to people, but it just doesn't sit well with like my digestion and stuff. So you just gotta kind of pay attention to what that stuff does to your individual body too, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Protein powders, you know, really you need to think of them as they're a supplement. So you really want to try to get your protein from whole food. Right. But like you said, a lot of people can't do whey. You know, it's really hard on digestion, but there's hemp proteins, there's pea protein, there's egg protein. Right. I actually used to do booth work for an egg white, it's called Egg Whites International. Mm-hmm. They're liquid egg white protein. So it's actually not powdered, which I love it, because they didn't take a product, make it into a powder, and then you rehydrate it with water. It's just pure egg whites. All they did was pasteurize it, and then they just kind of filtered out the slimy texture. So kind of mentally it freaks people out. But if you mix it with like frozen fruit in a smoothie, you can't taste it at all. And it's just pure protein that's like 100% bioavailable. So your body gets it all. And I really like that.
Wow.
And it's really good for people who can't digest whey or have lactose intolerance, soy intolerance, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a really good suggestion. And let's actually, the next thing I have on my list here is that kind of goes directly into this whole you getting into fitness and college and stuff. And now that you're kind of past college and you have some hindsight, what do you think the importance of staying fit in college is? Is it even that important, or do you just do your 4 years, do whatever you want, have a good time, and then then you graduate and say, okay, now I should probably focus on my health and fitness?
Well, I will tell you what. For one, I mean, college should be fun.
Right.
I got into a lot more trouble when I was in high school, so I think luckily by the time I went to college, I was kind of out of my major party stage.
Yeah.
Since I did it when I was like 16, I was terrible. but that's not to say that I didn't, you know, drink a few times a month, and it's going to happen. Right. However, Man, it is so hard to just, you don't want to just give up for 4 years and then try to start over, because it is just very difficult. If you can at least just work out 3 days a week and just get a little bit of stuff in, it'll be so much easier to maintain than it is to kind of let yourself go and start over.
Right.
And also just mentally, college is, I mean, besides all the social and the fun stuff, you're working, you're studying, you have a lot of things going on mentally, and it just helps you focus better, helps you concentrate better. Like we talked about, the anxiety and the depression, it's just one of those things where it can just help in all aspects, not just your waistline and not just how great you look in a bikini at spring break, but really just how you kind of are able to manage your exams and manage the stress of dating, because your brain's a little bit more clear and you're a little bit more focused.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's something I definitely bring with College Body, my company. And I try to always talk about not just like physical health, but mental health, and how physical health actually like transcends into better mental health. And that's like really important, because we've all been stressed before, and it's just much easier to think and act and do life when you're less stressed, you know?
So true.
Let's say people who like, how about this? Like people who say, okay, I get it. I mean, I want to be fit. I want to get into fitness, but I hate it. I don't want to go lift weights. The guys in the weight room scare me. I'd rather be on the treadmill, but I even hate that. I don't even want to be on the treadmill. So is it possible to make fitness fun, you know, for people who just don't want to work out, who just want to eat pizza and fine, but it can, yeah. Like we make fitness fun, because I know that's basically the whole theme of your company, like you mentioned, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I really believe, and this is what was hard for me, was I really thought fitness was about going to the gym and lifting, and I was so over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that there really wasn't a way, but there is. Like, there's so many different things. You know, people can get in shape and lose weight doing Zumba. They can get in shape and lose weight and have fun doing CrossFit. They could do spinning classes. There's so many things, and there's so many new classes. I just took this like ballet bar class,
mm-hmm.
that was hard. I mean, they use like 2-pound weights. I was seriously going, yeah, this class could be so easy. I was shaking. They can, you know, they used some muscles that I just have never used before. They did it in a way, in a technique that was so different.
Yeah.
And it was cool. It was cool and different. And I really, really recommend people trying different things till they find what they like. Because I think when you just look forward to a class, or look forward to, even if it's yoga, there's power yoga, and you just move, you will feel so much better. And there's hundreds, thousands of resources out there. Some people like to do at home videos. You know, P90X was really popular, and there's a new one called Body Effects. There's so many videos out there. So you just have to find what you like, and don't necessarily go to the gym if that's not your thing.
Right, exactly. And that's what I would say too. Just kind of find your outlet. I'm, like I said, I was a high school. I played football and I played basketball, and I love basketball. And I still, I get together with some actually fellow trainers that I work with, and we play basketball once a week, and it's just like a good mental outlet. It's a good, like, it's just fun. So you just kind of got to find your thing. But what about Danny J, what about like nutrition? Can you do the same thing for nutrition? Like, is there like do you think there's healthy foods that you can find that everybody likes? Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, everybody, well, not everybody, but I would think most people, they say, oh, I love food, I can't give it up. I'm like, of course you love food. We all love food.
Right.
But it's not saying you have to give up food. Nobody has to starve, and you don't have to just be stuck eating broccoli and chicken. There are so many resources, and people who get so creative with recipes and making them healthier versions of something else. Like, protein powder actually is like a great substitute for flour. So I've seen so many recipes, like banana nut muffins and uh-huh. cinnamon swirl bread, all made out of protein powder, and it tastes amazing. So, you know, bodybuilding.com is a good resource for those. There's a girl on Facebook, it's called Protein Powder,
mm-hmm.
and it's just all protein powder recipes, and it's like desserts. It's just amazing stuff, and you would never know that it's healthier. So I think you just have to be a little creative with the food, but it's not that you can't ever have bad stuff again. It's learning to eat the, you know, naughtier stuff, I guess, in moderation, And then trying to make healthier versions of the stuff you really do like and you, you know, don't want to live without.
Exactly, because a doable or a perfect plan that's not doable is not the perfect plan.
Right.
Exactly. You actually have this cool recipe on your website that I was checking out, that the sweet potato casserole. I guess you just posted a video on that, and I was actually like, dang, I'm about to go make this. And I'm not a baker or a cooker or anything, but I was like, I think I am gonna make the sweet potato casserole.
I am not, like, I don't cook at all. So if I find anything, it's gotta be so simple, like less than 5 ingredients and a microwave or just like a crock pot, or put it in the oven and put it for 40 minutes and walk away. But I'm not like a big mixer and spend a lot of time in the kitchen. So I've definitely found ways that I can enjoy my food, and it's a little bit different and mixing it up, but without, you know, slaving away.
which is perfect for like someone like me, who's a, you know, I'm in college right now and I'm lazy, but like, if you give me a few ingredients and tell me to heat it up, I think I can do that. And most college kids have access to at least a microwave, which you can do some stuff with. But actually, most kids live in apartments and have ovens and things like that where they can cook. So you just got to search around, and the internet provides like millions and millions of recipes for you to try and things like that. What was that? What was the website that you said with the girl who makes all the desserts out of protein powder?
It's Protein Pow and Pow, or Protein Pow Dur, but Dur is like in apostrophe or parentheses.
Protein so powder. Like Protein Pow Dur. Well, that's cool. I'm going to check that one out too, because I actually live with my sister Jill, and she's always making like these healthy desserts with protein powder and natural ingredients and things like that. And I'm not a dessert guy, but some of the things she makes those banana nut muffins that you mentioned. I crush those.
Amazing what you can use with those. I mean, you know, and just using, instead of butter, using applesauce, and there's a lot of like healthy substitutes, and you would not know the difference, you know, but you're just saving a lot of calories and a lot of just kind of extra junk by fixing it.
Yeah, which is very cool, because a lot of my friends will text me and they'll see what I'm doing. They're paying attention a little bit, and they'll be like, do you eat chicken breasts and broccoli like all day, every day? And I'm like, no, like not even close do I eat chicken breasts and broccoli all day, every day. So that's cool. Go ahead.
That's what I was doing for a while, and that's when I was really starting to hate it, you know, and that's kind of how Sweaty Betty's was born. I'm going, there's got to be a better way. There's just
right, that's when you were a figure competitor, right?
Yes.
And that's kind of like what, that on the outside looking in, that's kind of what the fitness industry kind of looks like, doesn't it? Like the bodybuilding world and the fitness competitor world.
Oh, absolutely. It's very plain, very boring, lots of cardio, you know, regimented lifting chest one day, back one day, biceps, you know, and so that's what I thought being in shape was about. And I enjoyed it because I loved how my body was looking, but then I got to the point where mentally, emotionally, it wasn't doing anything for me. And I'm like, if this is the only way to be fit, then I give up. Right. And I think that's how a lot of people do think. They think, well, if I only have to lift weights and I have to eat like this, then I would rather just be lazy or just not do it because it's not worth it. But it can be fun, and you don't have to eat like that, and you can still have a great body and still feel great without eating plain all the time.
Yeah, which is very cool, and actually like a very, believe it or not, that's like very a common thing, like a lot with a lot of questions I get, especially from college, because they're like, if you're telling me not to drink, not to eat at 2 a.m. and like, and do all this like perfectionist stuff, I'm just not going to do it. So
that's cool
that you mentioned that.
You know what, since you mentioned the 2 a.m. thing too, I mean, there's another thing that I remember, I think it was on Oprah maybe, that she was like, if you don't eat after 7 p.m., you'll lose weight. Well, you know what, there's no clock on your body that turns on at 7 o'clock and goes, all right, 7:02, everything's turning to fat. Exactly. So that's a really big misconception too. I used to keep a completely different schedule, and a lot of college kids I'm sure do too, where you stay up till 2-3 in the morning and you don't wake up until 9 or 10. So, you know what, if you're up late, you can eat later. You just need to make sure that it goes with your schedule. There really isn't a certain time. Now, I'm not suggesting to, like, have a giant bowl of ice cream at 3 a.m. But
yeah.
But I think the why a lot of people were losing weight when they stopped after 7, it was because they were probably snacking or getting into extra, you know, having that bowl of ice cream late at night.
Right.
It didn't matter if they ate that bowl of ice cream at 7 or at 9. It's just that it was excess calories over their, you know, what they were burning. So it's really a matter of how much you're burning and how much you're, you know, eating, not the time of day.
Exactly. And most of those, you know, Oprah audience members probably go to bed around 9 or 10, right?
So right. It's like, exactly.
So it's like, I'm up for an extra like 7 hours, so I can't eat for that whole time. You know, that stresses me out just thinking about it, you know?
Yeah. And you know what, too, people have these night shifts. I've had clients who they have a night shift, and they feel like they can't eat. And I go, well, you sleep all day, so what, you're supposed to never eat? Like, you can't eat at night, but you're sleeping in the day because your day is like your night.
Right.
So what are you supposed to do? And they're gaining all this weight because they're eating like I was doing. They're starving all day, eating one meal, and that just slows your metabolism right down.
Right. Yeah, so there's definitely no internal clog. And the another misconception is there's no one way to do anything. So, like, you just got to kind of pay attention. And if something's not working for you, then you should probably change it. But if it's working for you, that it's kind of like it's nonsense to change it, I would say.
Amen. Amen. I get this a lot. You know, somebody starts following vegan or they start doing raw and they lose some weight. And so everyone's like, oh, I'm what do you think of vegan or raw? I go, it's fine if you can sustain it and keep doing it.
Right.
You know, some people do paleo and they lose some weight and they feel good, but other people don't feel good on eating meat and other people don't feel good on eating raw vegetables. So you really do just have to find what works for you and what you can maintain. If you can't eat that way the rest of your life, then it's not the kind of food you should be eating or diet you should be eating.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I won't take up too much more of your time, Danny J, but I do have one more topic that I want to talk about, and it's it has to do, because the time we're giving this interview, most schools get out for spring break in about a week, or some schools 2 weeks, but we're right in that last little time frame before spring break, and I get a ton of emails, I get a ton of texts from people like, okay, yeah, I need to get in a, I got to be in a bathing suit in 2 weeks. I'm like, shit, man, I don't really know what to tell you. But my question to you, you're kind of the expert in this stuff. You did competitions, but those take a lot of preparation and you're trying to change people's lifestyles. But is it possible to get lean in a week or see any kind of results in that short period of time?
Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. You know, you can lose some weight in a week. Is it going to stay off? Probably not, because there's definitely crash diets that can work. But there are things you can definitely do to get rid of water weight, to lose a few pounds. You know, if you really clean things up, what I suggest, if you are, you have a week, you know, really you should start earlier. That way you don't have to ever get in this situation. But if you have a week, I really suggest, first off, cutting out any sodas or any carbonation, that kind of junk. You just want to drink water. That's just going to help kind of clear things out, keep everything moving.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also like eat some diuretic type foods like asparagus. Asparagus helps you eliminate water. And so that might help your stomach go down, you know, look a little slimmer. It's not going to take off a ton of weight, but it can help you out a little bit. So eating asparagus, drinking lots of water, cutting out sodium, you know, not adding a lot of extra salt, that'll keep the bloat down. And so those are just a few things. And just keeping foods as whole, like real whole foods as you can. Fruits, vegetables, lean proteins, water. So clean, just keep it really clean. Get rid of the sodium, lots of water, and then, you know, some kind of diuretic vegetables or tea.
Right.
That'll help kind of keep the water down.
Yeah, and I would argue that most...
And that always makes you look better.
Yeah. And I would argue that most... kids really don't care. They're like, okay, I don't care if it's sustainable. Will it get me leaner by next week, you know?
Right.
But let me ask you about this. There's another call I got. This is recently. And one of my friends, she says, I'm getting ready for spring break and I'm doing these Jillian Michaels pills or magic pills or something like that. And I'm like, what are the pills? And she was like, I don't know, but I'm doing them.
Right.
I was like, oh my God. So what's your thoughts on like magic pills and things like that?
Well, okay. So I wish you could see me. I just kind of like slab my head with my hand. So it really, like every single pill, there's lots of different ingredients that they put in these pills. I actually did a video on Sensa. It's like a sprinkle product. A lot of the products are just meant to make you feel full so that you don't eat as much. So there's nothing in them that is burning fat off of you. There's nothing in them that's doing any magical getting in your body and scraping the cellulite away. You know, there's nothing in the pill that does this. There's usually three kinds of pills. There are like stimulants, which have caffeine or guarana or green tea extract, something like this that kind of stimulates your heart rate basically. And it's almost like cardio in a pill, except you just have to think, how safe is that? Your heart's just beating faster while you're sitting there. I mean, it's kind of crazy. And minimally, you're gonna what, burn 20, 30 more calories over the day. I mean, it's not gonna be significant. The second ingredient that's often in fat burner is diuretics, which are like what the asparagus does. It just helps you drop water weight, so you're just gonna pee. So you're not, you might get on the scale and you've lost 2 pounds, but it's just because you peed buckets out, you know. And then the third one is usually some kind of fiber, whether it's glutamate, whatever, I can't say it.
Whatever it is, yeah.
It starts with GLUCOM. Okay, and then psyllium. And those just basically expand in your stomach with water so that you don't eat as much. But they're not, you can still eat as much. I mean, you can stuff your stomach. We all know we've eaten past full before. And those pills are so small that the amount of space that they displace with water isn't really going to be significant. So between the diuretics, the caffeine, and the fiber, that's none of those three things are actually burning fat, and none of those things are actually making you leaner, you know. So it's, you got to look at the ingredients. And you know what else? There is actually one more, Hodia. Sometimes there's appetite suppressants that are in some of you. And you know, those same thing. They're not burning fat. They're just making you not hungry. But like we just already talked about, you can go all day not eating, and that's not helping you lose weight either. You can actually gain weight because you're making yourself starve and your body starts holding on to everything. So
So
there's
there's
really
really
not a
nothing
single
magic
one.
about
Nothing, absolutely nothing.
them.
The thing that's magic about them is they magically take your money and and don't do anything for your waist.
Your money just magically disappears when you're on them.
Yes.
It's got
And they
that.
charge so much for those pills too, a lot.
It? Yeah,
Yes,
no, I've
they're
never been on the magic pill diet, but I was thinking about checking it out.
expensive.
I'm glad you clarified that up. But anyways, Danny J, thank you so much for doing this for me. Guys, you can check out her website at thesweatybetties.com and make sure you like her Facebook page and go and join the community and do all that. So Danny J, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you soon. See you.